one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One mic,
one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One mic,
one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and yeah, debated. I am Michael Eric Owen.
What's happening, podcast family? It's your boy, DT.
DT, right along with us on this cold, cold day.
Oh, it is cold.
And the wind's blowing too, brother. We got some snow here recently.
Man, it was actually good to see the snow. I was happy. To see the snow on the ground.
You can see what I'm wearing today.
You from that place where the snow is relentless sometimes.
right. Yeah, we laugh at 2 or 3, 4 inches, right. Man.
We close everything down.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, everything was shut down, man. But we got an exciting show today. We have an in-studio guest that's going to stop in. He is familiar to the One Mic, One Voice show.
And he's a seasoned veteran on the
show. Yeah, absolutely. And he's got another event coming up, and we definitely want to talk about that. But we're going into our final part 3 of American White Nationalism. And this has been a journey, man.
I mean, we've
been digging deeper and deeper into it. But we had a little, we took a little diversion last week, and we had Jamie in the studio with
that
us.
That was a breath of fresh air, though, man. She's awesome. Talented.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. It was great. I loved it, man. And looking forward to having Jamie. And we had Nikki Miller call in as well, which
a 24-year-old expert.
Oh, man, just set the bar so high for those, not only her age, but I think those of any age, just with the way she sees the world and the way she can articulate her ideas. And so we are going to go back into this thing called American Nationalism. But first of all, I don't know if you saw that what happened in Chicago just recently in the news with those, I believe it was 4 black, you know, some of them were teens and some of them were young adults, we would say in their 20s, that kidnapped and assaulted that white male, mentally challenged individual. I don't know if you saw that in the news. But it reminds me of the when we had that incident that we talked about on the One Mic, One Voice show in Idaho, where those football players had lured that black, we want to say a disabled individual out and used a coat hanger. Mm-hmm. On sexually
kicked it into his
into his rectum.
Yeah, further.
And do you know that guy basically got off with nothing? The ringleader of that. And so I pose the question: is are we going to see justice in both of these cases? Because clearly both of them are of a heinous, their hate crime. They didn't even charge the one in Idaho with a hate crime.
But Mike, are you saying are we going to see more of the same? You know, you're asking, is there going to be justice? But Are we not somewhat familiar with the turnouts of these type of cases when dealing with race and color and all of these?
And that's what's so sad, because we see the inequities of justice in our country simply because of the color of your skin. And one can argue and say, well, you know, apples and apples. But this is pretty close, I have to be honest with you. You know, they were both disabled individuals.
Almost identical circumstances.
Almost identical circumstances. You know, the one was kidnapped and, you know, held by his will. But the individual that the football players attack, I think if you can get some up someone's rectum, you pretty much holding them by their will, man.
Yeah.
That's you know that, and the kid in Idaho, the victim. I don't know if you're aware of this. He tried to commit suicide, man, just by the shame that the incident brought into his life, and to see this man and these people basically do community service.
Yeah, slap on the wrist.
It's not even a sex crime.
That's not even like a term to use anymore. That's not even like a slap on the wrist. That's like robbing a bank and somebody not even I don't even know how to frame it, how to explain it.
It's sad. I mean, it's sad what we see today, and this, you know, this correlates with our topic today when we talk about white nationalism, and this idea that is embedded in that is white privilege, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of being seen as more pure, you know, that it was a heinous, but you know, we don't want to ruin his life, yeah. You know, but a black life, disposable. you can clearly throw that away. And folks, we have a great show here today. Hang with us. We hope you tuned in. We hope you're focused, because we are.
Relaxed.
Now, I'm looking at DT. You look good, man.
Thanks, man. I'm like, man,
it's 2017, man.
Flying like wine on.
Yeah, no, man. You're getting better with each and every moment, man.
You're looking pretty swell.
I'm trying. You know, man. I tried to come represent.
Yeah,
you know,
you got all that.
All that Wisconsin.
All that territorial. All that year, Wisconsin. We know where you're from, man.
Man, I'm trying to remind you. You might have forgot.
I did.
But folks, listen, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
A Night with Ralph Ellison. Come join us at the Oklahoma History Center, February 25th, 2017, at 6 p.m. for a night of music, literature, and dance. Get your tickets at RalphEllisonFoundation.org. Become a sponsor and support the great work of the Ralph Ellison Foundation.
Hi, everyone. This is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook and Twitter,
and
blackandstudios.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
And we love you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show in the studio.
Feeling like one big happy family.
Oh, right? Man, we loaded down in here. And y'all some good looking folks, though. I'm just going to say that to begin with. So we loaded down with some good looking folks up in here today. And our main man who is, you know, he comes on the show. Even when he's not on the show, I just hear and see the great things that he's doing. We have Brother Kareem Muhammad in here, executive director, founder of Teacher Appreciation Foundation.
Welcome
back in One Mic. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing awesome. It's a family, you know. I'm here with my family, my brothers.
You definitely here with family.
Yes.
And we appreciate you being here. So we have like a man. Has it been a year?
It's been over a year.
Oh man,
really?
Wow.
Yeah. Since you know. You guys been with us basically since the conception of this movement.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a long time.
We've tried to be as supportive as we believe in what you're doing and the great things that you're making happen in the educational system along with the people that you're recognizing. We think it's a phenomenal thing that you're doing.
Kareem has watched us transition, too. You've watched Black and Studios grow up.
Yes,
I remember sitting on that stool in an apartment building somewhere in a closet.
You know, just as you guys believed in our vision, we of course believed in One Mic, One Voice.
No doubt.
And here we are.
No doubt.
So the movement continues.
So you have another gala coming up. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, actually, it is the award show.
Okay.
But you guys attended. That was a gala. We parallel in this for the Grammy. This is the Grammys for the educators and supporting staff. This is our third year doing it. Mm-hmm. We have it's going to be a real big lineup of people. We're very excited. You know, One Mic, One Voice will be in the building. Doing the podcast, and
absolutely,
we're excited.
Absolutely,
yes,
absolutely. So, and you brought some studio guests, some familiar faces to us.
Yes, yes.
Look at that smile.
I have the lovely Cherie. This is one of my board members. She's been with us since the conception, since it was just an idea. She's been supporting me. My vice president, Dawood Ali. I have my director of social media marketing, L. Barnett, is in the building. A lot of things you guys see could not get done without her directing me and showing me the right way. And I have two brand new people on the scene with me. I have Mr. Gerald Thomas and Denise Shaw. They are doing my red carpet. They're going to do the red carpet interviews.
Oh, okay.
So I said, I want you guys red to come on these radio tours with me and get the experience on being on these platforms.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
So red carpet interviews, huh?
Yeah, the red carpet interviews.
You know, that's something DT do regularly, though.
What's that?
I mean, that's something he do regularly. So, you know, I ain't familiar to that sort of thing. So, you know, but I'll definitely get some pointers from him. Nah. So just tell us, man, what you've been up to and what you want One Mic, One Voice folks to know and to tune in and to come out and support and so forth.
I've been working diligently for the past 4 months to build up to the point that I'm at right now. Day and night, sometimes I get 2 hours of sleep. But this is not work to me. I have a passion for this. I have a drive for this. And the work speaks for itself. The work speaks for itself.
And let's back up here for a minute, because we definitely have listeners that have not heard about your organization, and you know we have an international listening audience.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about what does your organization do?
Well, it's the Teachers Appreciation Foundation. To put the synopsis of this foundation is, we go around the state of Oklahoma, and what we do, we've created a synergy amongst educators and supporting staff. Let us know who you want us to give accolades to. We sing for the unsung heroes. As my mom, Anaima Muhammad, says, the school village, it takes the school village to teach the child. That is the spinoff of the African proverb, which she's a retired school teacher of 30 years. And so basically, Teachers Appreciation Foundation, we want to brand that to say each year we're going to go to state and have the Grammys for the teachers and supporting staff.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
No. I was going to say the most, I think, compelling thing for me is the supporting staff and how you bring them into, because, although teachers are unappreciated, they're more appreciated than supported staff. We can say that.
Yes.
And so to bring them into the fold and to recognize them, I think, is a very beautiful thing.
And to basically piggyback off what you just said, I had a phenomenal meeting with the Lieutenant Governor, Todd Lamb. Mm-hmm. Okay. One thing he said to me, he said, one thing that makes your organization so unique to me, and he said this, he said, my wife is a school teacher. Mm-hmm. However, I always hear about the teacher of the month, teacher of the year. You know, that gets kind of, you know, ho-hum. But he said, you bring that janitor to the forefront. You bring that nurse aide to the forefront. You bring that cafeteria worker to the forefront. So he's saying the same thing that a lot of people are saying, man, wow. Something just so simple, but yet so unique.
Well, and I think in our society as a general, we don't acknowledge those that are doing the work. We acknowledge those that are the face of the work, right?
I mean,
that's why we praise Dr. King and, you know, Rosa Parks and all, but like they were the only ones, right? So we know there were so many other foot soldiers in the movement that we don't recognize and give their accolades too. So let's talk a little, let me hear from your crew a little bit and see what they're up to and how they're moving the vision forward and so forth. So anyone, I mean, this One Mic, One Voice, go ahead. You got the mic, do your thing. If you go too long, I'll cut you off.
So. Get that church button blinker.
Hello. I'm Gerald Thomas and I'm a co-host for the Red Carpet, the third annual TAF Awards, alongside Denise Shaw. And I just encourage everyone that's in the local area to come out and support the movement. What we do today determines our tomorrow. And, Kareem starting with me, you know, he's giving me an opportunity and putting me on the pedestal, you know. So where I'm at with it today.
Great.
Well, you guys, forgive my voice. The change of the weather got me sounding horrible.
I'm not going to forgive you. come to the One Mic, One Voice show ready.
That's right. I'll stay ready. I was born that way.
Okay, well, tell me then.
You better know what I was born that way.
I see the voice change.
I was born that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When greatness speaks, it just comes out. And when you got greatness inside of you, it just comes out. It reflects. You're right. You're right. As I said, I'm Cherie. I can't stress enough how important it is to get the community involved in this. This doesn't just affect one person. It doesn't just affect one certain race or creed. It affects us all. Anyone that has a child, if you're a grandparent, if you're an auntie, your uncle, you have a niece, you have a nephew, you have a daughter, you have a son, it affects us all. Mm-hmm. These educators are out here every day dedicating their lives to instill something in our children to make sure that they have that greatness inside of them to be the doctor, to be the lawyer, to be the nurse, you know, to even be a teacher. Or what do you guys do? Radio? They have teachers for that as well, you know? So I'm just saying, you guys come out and show your love and support for these educators, not only just educators, the janitorial staff that keeps the school clean for when these babies come to learn, the cafeteria worker who makes sure that your child eats every day. You know, it's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes with these educators and supporting staff that we don't even know about. It's a lot of children that don't have money to eat, and they jeopardize their job. They put their livelihoods for their family on hold if they don't have the money to feed, if you don't have money to send your child to school with. They are not supposed to feed your child. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to turn them away. There's a lot of people that feed them anyway. That's jeopardizing their job, believe it or not. So
it's deep.
You know, and I'm going to say this, and I think this theme is going to be for the next 4 years. I hate to politicize our discussion here, but I think on the sociological level, on what this organization does, what One Mic does, what other organizations do, it's going to be even more important to keep our focus on who we are and what we are. Because the federal government is going to be crazy. International relations is going to be crazy. Laws are going to be peeling back progress that has happened for the last 50 years. Somehow we have to maintain our focus. And it's organizations like these that keep us concentrated on what is important. Yes. And that is our kids. That is those that are working in education. And so, folks, I just want to say to you, and we're going to give you you know, a link. We're going to give you a phone number. We're going to give you something so that you here in a minute, so that you can give to this organization to make sure that they can continue to do not just what they're doing right now, but even greater work. So let's move on, because we got some folks up in here.
And hi, I'm Denise. A lot of things brought me to this organization. Monique and Cherie and Kareem, they're my friends. But for two, I really definitely want to, you know, be a part of anything that's giving accolades to the educators, as educators are the ones who gave me a second chance. After my history and my background, doing 6 years in prison, when I got out, education was the only thing I had to turn to. So me going back to school, I got a bachelor's and a master's since I've been home. And so I definitely want to give pay homage where homage is due to those educators that stepped in and gave me a chance at a new life. So because of the education that I went and got, I've been able to do a lot of things. So I definitely support this organization and what they have going on, because those are the people who are underappreciated. And we definitely need to step up and say, hey, we appreciate y'all and all the good things that you all are doing in the community every day. And make sure you all go out, go to the website. If you want to know what the organization is about, www.taf5.org. You can find out everything about the organization. You can get tickets to the event on the 28th at ticketstorm.com. Come check us out and see what we're about.
So let's talk a little bit about, so they can get the tickets at ticketstorm.com or right off the website. How can they do that?
Tickets can be purchased off the website.
Okay.
TAF5.org. Now, that's the number 5.
Okay.
TAF, the number 5.org. The link is on our Facebook page, Teachers Appreciation Foundation. The Ticket Storm link is on my Facebook page. A lot of A lot of people follow me, Kareem Muhammad.
Yeah.
So the link is all over social media, but the direct link, it can be purchased from my website.
And follow Kareem because, you know, don't follow me. follow Kareem. Kareem is much more balanced and nice and this and everything. Don't follow Michael Eric Cohen because we probably going to get into it. All right. I know this young lady right here.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We doing good.
Awesome. I had to take notes because I don't want to miss nothing.
Okay, go ahead.
So first of all, don't listen to this man. You follow him. Follow One Mic, One Voice, and also follow Kareem Muhammad and follow the Teachers Appreciation Foundation page because it is a lot of information that we're giving away on there. And it's not just for the event. We're giving out information of what's going on in the schools right now. Right now, we have a school board election that's coming up on Valentine's Day, February 14th.
That is correct.
You have to be registered to vote by January 20th to even vote in that. And we need our parents to vote on this school board. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much that's going on with this foundation. And I have to give major props to this man because he works super hard. I mean, it looks like a one-man team, but he has a great support system and board, and it is working really good for everyone. I want to talk to you guys about the PTA. Get on your PTA with these schools. Talk to the teachers. Talk to your kids. Ask your kids, who's your favorite teacher? Why is that teacher your favorite teacher? And hear what your kids have to say, because a lot of us get consumed in work and get consumed in our daily lives that a lot of our kids are being left behind right now. We're not speaking to our kids and seeing what's really going on in these schools. And if we don't have time to go to these schools and sit in a classroom or sit on the PTA, then we don't know what's going on. So we send our kids to strangers every day for longer than 8 hours. And what do our kids do? They come home, they do some homework, maybe, and then they go on back to school again. We need to know who our kids are involved with. On our page, the TAF page, there's a meme on there that says, some teachers taught the curriculum today. Other teachers taught students today. Now, there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't hear that, I'm going to say it again.
Some teachers
taught the curriculum today. Other teachers taught students today. If you are like me, you know who your teacher was that actually left something in you. I had a teacher that told me once upon a time, and her name was Miss Harris in the fourth grade, I promise. And Miss Harris said, look to your left and look to your right. Some of these people are going to be in jail. Some of these people aren't going to be with you anymore. And you got to make the decision of which way you're going to go. Yeah. Are you going to go to school? Are you going to go to college? Are you going to become somebody? Or are you going to run in the wrong crowds and do the wrong things with the wrong people and end up in the direction that your parents didn't want you to go? So you have to pay attention to those type of things. And one last thing that I want to talk about is the nominations. Now, I do have to ask Kareem, what day does the nominations close?
The nominations close January 21st.
Okay. Let me tell you about these nominations. We are getting them. When I tell you, when you inbox us and say, hey, we nominate this person, we are definitely getting them. And you guys, it's some very, very, very respectable teachers out there. So we are getting those names. Mm-hmm. Just know, if you're inboxing us on the Teachers Appreciation Foundation, we're getting all of your messages. We're getting all your inboxes. We will respond accordingly. We try to do it same day, but we're getting all that information. We definitely appreciate you guys.
Well, I just want to, you know, in closing, just say again, and I can echo DT as well as Richard and how much we just appreciate the great work that you're doing. All of you. I mean, we know that Brother Kareem is the face of everything.
Yes.
But we appreciate all the support that you're giving him. Give him the brother man, you see, because the brother man don't always have support. I'm just going to keep it real. We out there by ourselves trying to make things happen. So it's a beautiful thing to see that he has this level of support. So in closing, again, where can they donate? Where can they get their tickets at? Where can they find out more information about your organization?
In closing, I want to say this real quick. We have some top tier award recipients this year. As I mentioned, the lieutenant governor, I spoke with him. He will be in attendance. He's getting an award. Todd Lamb, the mayor of Oklahoma City. You know him personally.
Yeah.
Mike, he will be receiving an award. We have superintendent, the state superintendent, Joel Hoffmeister. We have Russell M. Perry, Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. These people, these influential people, will be in attendance and receiving an award. We need the support from the people. We have to have sponsors for the to sponsor these type of awards, to sponsor these type of events. That's what keep things going. But TAF5.org. It's TAF, the number 5.org. You can get online. We are a 501c3. I repeat, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations is tax exempt. And visit us on Facebook, Teacher Appreciation Foundation. And the event page is the third annual TAF Awards. One mic, one voice will be in the building.
I think that's going to bring some folks in. I think they'd like to see us. Well, you know what? Again, you know, thank you so much for stopping by the studio today. You folks like the studio?
We love it.
You know, love it.
Well,
we,
you guys
we
appreciate come out and see this.
We appreciate it so much. And folks, listen, we're going to put some of this information on our Facebook page. But by all means, support this organization. And folks, we will be right back.
This is Dr. Paul Ketchum, and I fully support One Mic, One Voice, and I recommend you do the same.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice, and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher, where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Oh, man.
Back in this thing.
We just had a great time in the studio.
Man, packed house up in here.
Man, it was, you know what, man? I love being alone, just us, you know, with Richard. But, man, it was cool to just have a packed house in here, man.
The right company is awesome.
See, that's what I'm saying. See, that's why I'm always learning from this brother. The right company.
The right company.
Speaking of knowledge,
you be around a bunch of people that make you feel like, man, why am I here? You know,
right, I can't wait to get out of here.
The right company,
oh, man, you know, again, folks, I want to encourage you. There's organizations out here that are just doing some really great things, and to recognize the least among us. I mean, I can just toss it out. The good books say, when you did it to the least among you, you did it also unto me. So I think that's a beautiful thing when
any of us can look back into our education background, you know, as a kid especially, you know, you had a cafeteria lady who looked out for you, a janitor, you know, made sure he spoke to you, made you feel good, put a smile on your face, something outside of your classroom was not
whooped you or something when you did wrong,
You know, didn't tell on you when you were supposed to be in trouble. You know, hey, get on there, man. I ain't going to say nothing.
That's right. Overlooked all of that, man. That's a beautiful thing that he's doing. And so, folks, I'm so happy you have stayed with us because, again, part three, American white nationalism. Now, when we think about what is the nationalism has been around for since day one, I would say that, you know, the very idea of coming to a country to take over a country, right?
And blanketed in your ideas and
exactly
that experiences and thoughts and
that white is right and everything else is wrong. So, but there's a new kind of a new face of white nationalism. So, folks, I want you to listen to this clip, and then we'll be right back to discuss it.
Studying the online white nationalist movement in the website stormfront.org in 2004. They had 30,000 members. Today they have over 300,000 members. And they average around 30,000 people visiting the site every single day across the world. The main focus of the site is teaching white people that whites are superior. There's a race war underway. White people are the targets globally. And white people need to wake up. When I first heard about the shooting, that a purportedly white man had gone into the center of the AME church and killed 9 black people, I knew that it was tied to our history of racial violence. But when it came out within the first, I think, day, that the purported shooter said, "You are raping our women and taking over the country," I had to do this. I knew exactly where he'd been spending time. This is before the manifesto came out, or where he actually mentions that he was claims to be a white nationalist, but he very succinctly summarized the ideology of white nationalism in that statement. And I would have been very surprised if he hadn't have learned that ideology online. So most people are not going to be wearing swastikas because that's going to, unless they really want to be ostracized. But people can wear the number 88, which in white nationalist ideology represents H is the 8th letter of the alphabet, so 88 is a shorthand for Heil Hitler. So in some ways, 88 and the swastika can represent the same thing. But for those of us who aren't indoctrinated into this ideology and don't understand that, we might just see it as some innocuous number. The number 14 is also important in white nationalism. It stands for the kind of summary of the ideology of the movement, that we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. So for Dylann Roof, there are some pictures of him writing 1488 in the sand on a beach, clearly kind of demonstrating symbolically his allegiance to white nationalism. We know that with further deinstitutionalizing a white supremacist culture, with taking the Confederate flag out of public spaces, that's going to provoke feelings of insecurity, nervousness, fear by the primarily disaffected white men who participate in these websites. So there's a chance that it could incite actually more violence, more people deciding they need to take the race war into their own hands. Don Black founded Stormfront in the mid-90s. He is a former Grand Dragon of the KKK. When he was a youth, he was friends with David Duke, the neo-Nazi. And that they've maintained a friendship. But today, Black doesn't show up in photos on the website wearing the KKK hood. He ends up showing himself wearing a business suit and tie. So representing, saying he's not an outcast, he's not an outlier. His ideology is now mainstream. The scary thing is that someone can be exposed to this kind of thinking and then can spend as much time as they want online becoming entrenched in it. And also finding a community online. A lot of these websites, you know, they have, like Stormfront, they have a subset for parenting. They have a subset of the website for youth, where you can play games, and, you know, or with homemaking, where you can share recipes, or dating, where you can find other white people to date. So, but there's a way that they share the ideology, but also create community online. So if someone is feeling disaffected, if they're feeling alienated, they can find this website and have, if they're a white person, encounter the ideology, decide, oh, I actually should feel good because I'm a white person, and then actually find a community online.
Wow, I'll tell you, man, that's, wow, where do we begin?
Right, she said so much.
I mean, it was wonderful to, you know, to have an kind of analysis of this, the new face, really, the online face, the recruitment, the community, as she says, the community, the online community of disinfected white males. You know, I wrestle with the fact that in our government, okay, we have a majority of white males.
Okay.
In our corporate boardrooms, the majority are white males.
Okay.
Okay. The presidency, the majority of people have been what?
White male.
White males, right? When you turn on TV, the majority of people you see our white people and white males, when you look at superheroes and who saves the day, it is white males, right? And so how can they feel disaffected, man? I'm like, that is ridiculous argument for them to make. I mean, doesn't that seem like ludicrous?
I mean, now that you make all those very great points, you know, it's really hard to now fathom how, you know, somebody could feel like, you know, their race is being stepped on or pushed aside anyway. But at the same time, what she's saying is that there is a community of people who also feel that way, the opposite of what you said. All of our jobs are leaving. Nobody, you know, wants to mingle with us, or our race is being wiped out. And but there are a community of people who find other people who think like this, and then they get together, and this is what creates the, you know, the big mirage. Yeah, but yeah. As you say, like, how after everything else you see, you know, is you.
You know what's so crazy is they blame, because they make Jews, minorities, the target. Okay, the 88. The course, the eighth letter of the alphabet, Hi Hitler, right?
The codes.
They make everybody else the problem. You know who they should be mad at? Themselves. Mm-hmm. They should be mad at white males, because white males have put them in that position. White males have been in charge of this country. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've been in charge of local, state, and national government since the outset of this country. And all of a sudden, you're mad at minorities? You're upset at black people, at Hispanics, at Asians. Blacks, Hispanic, and Asians haven't been in charge. You need to be you need to look at the mirror and be mad at yourself, because it is the white male. It is the Donald Trumps of the world that have taken advantage of you, have hoodwinked you, have made you think that somehow you that everybody else has hurt you when they played you like a violin. Beautiful violin, I might ask. I mean, beautiful to the ears, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous, though, right? Like, why are you mad at me, man? I'm not in charge.
Right. I didn't ask for this.
Exactly.
Not our fault.
Oh, man, the disinfected white male, you know, this online community. But DT, talk a little bit about these online communities and how they create parenting, youth. They even exchange recipes.
Okay, so yeah, it's just like anybody who may get an interest in something, right? So I'm somebody who likes to bake cookies, for instance, yeah. Right? I love chocolate chip. I've found a new forum that's, you know, all about chocolate chip cookies. They've got the latest recipes. They've got the latest ingredients.
But they got chocolate.
They're telling me exactly where the best place to find the finest chocolates.
But you might need to use white chocolate
chip. I'm just saying that, Mike, the communities are out there for whatever your interests are. So if I'm somebody even looking to be, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, you know, is that the way of thinking is that, you know, just as adamant as you may be about loving life and doing right and being good, somebody else on the other side of that coin is just as adamant about being an asshole,
yeah,
and no causing
doubt.
Terror,
no doubt,
and lying and all these other negative things, you know. So it's like the parallel between the two make you understand, you know, the ways of thinking. But at the same time, there is no shock, because it's like, man, there are people out there who are looking for problems.
Yeah.
It's like, man, okay, who else thinks that this race is falling apart and the blacks are blamed for everything else and we don't ever get our piece of the pie and I'm feeling like I want to kill it. You know, it's like there are people out there who are also thinking like that, and now they found them, and this is what creates the danger.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you can find what you're looking for, really. I mean, that's the information age, that's social media now. I mean, just like what is, man, what is, like, recipes, man? White nationalist recipes.
Probably.
You know what I mean? I mean, they have anything black in it or anything? You know, no brownies, probably. No, that ain't in the book.
Powdered donuts only.
Powdered donuts only. Folks, hey, listen. We have to make we have to make fun of this stuff, because it is truly, truly crazy. But hey, hang with us, folks. We're gonna come back, and we got some more in-depth stuff to look at. We're gonna look at white nationalist recruitment. Hmm. How do they recruit? Because they're recruiting young people. They're going after young people, because the only way to perpetuate hate is to teach hate.
Find like right? minds.
Okay, you bring them out the womb. You know, you put a Confederate flag. You know, man, maybe they got diapers, this Confederate flag. You know, I don't
they
know.
They probably do.
They probably do. You know what I mean?
And I mean, because you thought it.
Yeah.
And you're not even.
Now, what if I had a franchise where I did that? And they found out like a black man was one making Confederate diapers. They probably wouldn't buy it.
They'd be coming for you, man. They'd be coming for you.
Folks, listen, hang with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for downloading this episode. Here on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music, or whatever podcasting library you're listening to this show on, please rate and review. Those reviews and ratings help us tremendously. We thank you.
Welcome back. I was trying to get some special mix together, and Richard, like, you know, he didn't give me the full full break. So folks, we came back in like we Early. Came back in.
Surprise.
You know? But but you know, the white nationalists are recruiting for their mission. You heard the professor talked about they went from 30,000 to 300,000 members. 300,000 members. That is quite a lot of people, right? It's not 1 million, but with the rise of Trumpism, with the rise of someone else in the seat of Pharaoh that represents who they are and what they are, I think they're going to get more and more members. People, you know, people, DT, actually, they gravitate toward fear, hate, envy, jealousy. And people, like, they repel love. You know what I mean? I mean, they just, I don't
love
know.
Love ain't enough, man.
I just
shoot, don't really. Man. Tried that love stuff, man.
Didn't work for me.
No, man.
I got hurt, right?
Too many times, man. Trying out that love stuff, man.
Hate is much easier.
And then
right?
the hate bill, right? Because yeah. after all that rejection, after all that reaching out and seeking out and nothing being able to pour back into you to make you feel something positive, what can you expect from them, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, how do we wake up in the morning with a... I remember there was a comedian saying, you know, people wake up in the morning... Gang banging on bacon.
Gang banging on
it's
bacon.
Like we wake up mad.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like at breakfast time, you just it got attitude.
Yeah.
The whole world is over already.
Yeah.
You just open your eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And people like that are seeking, you know, to bring other people into that world. Yeah. You know, it's like, man, I'm good. I ain't gotta be trying to fight everybody every day.
No doubt.
You know?
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Folks, they are recruiting. I want you to listen to this audio. On how the white nationalists are recruiting today.
Hello, white world. This is Kevin Goudreau of the White Nationalist Front. There are some very special words that we do this for our heritage and our homeland. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And the second part to that is, because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from this earth. That is why you must join the White Nationalist Front for our heritage and our homeland. Join the White Nationalist Front today. Be proud to be white. Stand up for your people. And let's work together on this.
Wow, that's like, this... You know, the music was pretty heavy metal-ish. DT's over there playing his guitar.
The air guitar. Man, you know, I was just thinking, like, somebody is listening to that and just eating it up, you know, as wrong as it is.
Yeah, exactly. This idea of our heritage and our home.
Mm-hmm. Taken, stolen.
That's what I'm trying to say. How can you say that land you have stolen is yours? Every treaty you set with the native peoples, you broke. Not black man, not white women, but white man in charge, okay? The land run here in Oklahoma took land from the enemy, from the Indians. Mm-hmm. This Trail of Tears took land from them. Even when the Japanese went into internment camps here, you took their property from them. How long will you believe this lie that this land somehow belonged to you, mm-hmm, when you had civilizations that were living in this land? Some of it belonged to Mexico. Mm. That's interesting, right? Mm. We could go back in history where the French owned some of this land. So why don't the French come up and say, you know, this is our land? They gave up Louisiana. Louisiana Purchase. I mean, the reality is, it's a lie to say that your heritage and your homeland is America, because America is a melting pot, right? When white folks set foot on this soil, black folks were with them. Native peoples were here. They didn't ask for you to come. Matter of fact, Columbus lost his way. This idea that he found anything. Lost. Man, this idiot. He lost his way.
Lost the Columbus.
He was a
story.
Rapist and a murderer, to add to that. They want to preserve this land for white children, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the beauty of the Aryan woman. That's interesting. This idea of maintaining some white purity. There is no white purity. Any white person in this country, do a DNA test and see what happens to you. Oh, you find out you're a certain percent sub-Saharan Africa?
Maybe ready to commit.
What you going
to
do? You going to kill yourself?
How could this be?
Well, the reality is the birthplace of civilization is in Africa. We all have African blood in us. We all are mixed. There is no pure breed of anybody on this planet. Man. And so the idea of, man, this is all propaganda, DT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all propaganda. And when you have a person that comes to the Oval Office that looks at everyone as being the other, okay, Mexicans are rapists, criminals. Blacks, if you don't like, if black lives don't matter here, go back to Africa. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're getting shot in your city streets. You don't have jobs. You don't have an education. You got an education, bro. Last time I checked, right? Mm-hmm. Master's degree,
all
right?
All types of stuff, yeah, man.
Last time I checked, I had an education. You got your own house, right?
Yeah.
Richard got his own house, right? I mean, last time we checked, Richard's got an education. Mm-hmm. I mean, last time I checked, did we fall into those categories? I mean, you can walk out your neighborhood without getting shot, right?
Oh, yeah, every day.
But I mean, he said you can't walk out your neighborhood without getting shot. Oh, yeah, because we're black, yeah, right? Okay. Throw us all into the same barrel, right, that somehow he seems to understand. But that speaks to the white nationalistic view of who we are and what we are. We are violent people. We don't deserve to be included. We're uneducated. We're lazy. We are less than zero. Our lives doesn't matter. And we're going to see this last video that we go into. We're going to see just how much, just how much their end game
out there
really engaging wants to be. So, folks, listen to this. Listen to their end game.
And I realized he's made sort of this niche for himself by being this, you know, sort of milquetoast, respected, you know, sort of academic racist. But he got nowhere. He had decades running his game, right? And it really didn't win any culture wars. We get called the same neo-Nazi white supremacist slurs that he does, and we actually transform the culture like over and over again. It just doesn't stop. We win and we win and we win. And now you guys are apparently sick of winning. Well, too bad. here's the fact of it, because We're starting to win, but it's not like we want to stop here. You guys are like, okay, you've got what you want, but my respectable donors are getting they're getting jitters over this. These Jews, and they look white to me, and they give me money. And listen, buddy, listen. Here's the fact of it. We're not defining mean words on the internet as our stopping point, right? Let me give you an idea. If you want to see our stopping point, I recommend that you pop open some ancient poetry and you read the Volundarc Fifth. Okay, that's our stopping point. But the next step is we organize mobs to go out on the street and say these same mean words, but say them at people's homes, businesses, places of worship. That's the next step. But it's not where we stop. Where we stop is when we are compensated, either in Bitcoin or in blood, for the harm and the violence that has been done to us. And that's so many steps forward. This is not where we tone it down and dial it back. We tone it down and dial it back when the people whose names echo are all in their precious Israel, and the basketball Americans are put into the chains that they belong. All right. Like that's the point where we can sit around and say, maybe we should go easy now. You know, like we could think about it then. I wouldn't advise it. But the idea that we should stop now that we're finally achieving cultural victories is ludicrous. And really is putting you guys in the position of Nick Griffin. Nick Griffin, I actually prefer him to Nigel, because at least Nick Griffin put race explicitly on the table 24 hours a day all the time. And that's awesome, right? But he f***ed himself when he said that he wanted to be the underdog, because nobody wants to follow the guy that says he wants to be a loser, right? And you guys, that's what you guys are saying. It's like you guys over there, you guys are winning, and we can't have that. You've got to be prim and proper, and you can't make our conference goers and our subscribers, you can't make them nervous because they might stop giving us. We aren't in it for shekels. We aren't in it to fill conference halls. We aren't in this for money. We're in this for success. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't have a home anymore, right? Like, my only resolution of this is in, like, my enemies subjugated and in chains, right? Like our terms of you know, victory are much different than yours. Your terms of victory are sort of seem to be filling conference halls, and they've been that way for many a year. But our terms of victory are complete and total, like, global white supremacist empire. That's our terms of victory.
Welcome back, folks. Global whites supremacy.
That was serious, wasn't
it? Okay. Global. This gentleman said he has no home anymore. Mm-hmm. His home has been taken from him. Although he took the house from somebody else. Mm-hmm. But his home has been taken from him. I like the idea of the basketball Americans in chains.
The basketball.
Who could he be referring to? Maybe the LeBron James of the world, and
maybe he was talking about.
LeBron is 6'8". LeBron looked like he could throw down too. So I don't know if you want to come walk to LeBron with some chains. He probably gonna issue some punishment to you.
Wasn't talking about Popovich, was he?
No. He wasn't talking about Popovich. No. He was talking about the yeah, achieving cultural victory. He said we are achieving. This is what Trumpism has brought. They feel like they are winning now. We are winning.
Mm. And we keep winning. So.
That is a scary thought. For these people to look at this con artist, as I post, commander and thief, right? That he has somehow validated them, and they have this now, this highway, this open door to success. That we are being victorious. He's emboldening them, DT. They don't feel like they're in the shadows anymore. The Spencers of the world, the Banners of the world, they don't feel like they're in the shadows anymore. They feel like they have someone right now that will speak for them. And that Kerryon Conway, or whatever her name, Kerryon Conway, the special counsel to the president, the one that's out here on the mic for him. She's just as well as a white nationalist as anybody I've ever seen. They're trying to code what they're trying to do. Okay.
Talk about these people kind of carrying on the ambitions of their ancestors. Because, you know, just like we talked about, life has been going on a long time. We talked about how long white nationalism has been a thing. You say since the beginning of time. And so since time, there have been families, there have been friends, there have been communities, there have been partnerships, there's been business established based on and within people who have these similar ideas and who have carried them on from generation to generation to generation. And so where in fact do we find these people still in existence today in relation to what the ideas are for white nationalism, for hatred, for racism, whatever you want to call it?
Well, I mean,
This guy is obviously echoing some earlier ideas. It's not like he woke up today and was like, man, I'm going to be a racist. You know, somebody had been implanting these ideas into his mind from the point he's a child up until now.
It's taught, man. I mean, that's the only way you can carry on that legacy is to take little Johnny and isolate him and talk about, you know, the Negroes. Mm-hmm. Blacks, the Jews.
Don't trust them.
You can't.
I bet not catch a plane.
Oh, absolutely. Don't mix with them. Don't
bring them around.
It's good. Against God's law. I mean, when you teach that, and not, let me just say this: this is not only being taught in the South. I know I use a Southern dialect there, but it's being taught in the North. Mm-hmm. It's been taught in the East. It's been taught in the West. It's been taught that you are superior and they are inferior. That this is a white man. This is the problem I have with white women. They have subjugated you for generations. They have made you less. They have denied you equality and the vote to write. You have been alongside your black brothers and sisters since the origin of this country. And yet and still, 54% of you voted for Trump. You voted against your own interests. As a black man, and I can look at all three of us and speak for all three of us, we were willing to put a white woman in office as black men. But you refuse yourself to put someone that looks like you and stands for you. That to me is a sickness that's embedded in this male dominated white society. So it's taught. I'm not going to have my boy go out there and mix and mingle with different folks. Why? Because when he start mixing and mingle with different folks, DT, he come find out that we ain't all that different. Man, I like DT.
And on that side, you know, it's like, man, if my white friend listen to this show, man, listen, I love y'all. You know, like I've had so many positive experiences in life getting to know different people. And, man, it's not like I could discount that, you know, because, one, we don't always get a chance to. We don't have the privilege, I suppose, to not be engaged with other societies if it be our choice, you know, whereas on the other side, that's possible at some point. But, man, like you're saying, once you get to know DT, once you get to know Mike, once you get to know Richard, you know, you find out they're pretty cool guy.
Man, I like this dude. Man, you know, this dude is like, man, something he's kind. He's loyal, you know what I mean? Cool. He speak positive things into my life, you know? He doesn't want to hurt me. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here today, man. Like I told you, my family's a rainbow, man. I wouldn't be sitting here today. My mentors are a rainbow. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be sitting here today, man. Over the holidays, I had the chance to go down to Greenwood Cultural Center, man, and see the 1921 race riots unfold. I had a chance to go to John Hope Franklin, one of my mentors, man, to his park, man, and to hear about his life and to meet both of the executive directors, man, that run those programs. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing. Man, if it was not for white, Hispanic, black, I am because people poured into my life, man. Right. I didn't care what, it doesn't matter to me what race you are. I don't, that doesn't matter to me What matters to me is if you love people, you're concerned about people, and you want to see the best for everyone that you have the influence over. That's what I'm talking about. White nationalism, that's just straight up bullshit. I'm going to be honest with you. In our country, the growth of that, folks, and it takes you, you know, we want to close with say, how can we fight against this? I'm going to say this. It's easy for a black man to fight against that. White nationalists look at that and say, yeah, he should fight against it because I want to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. It takes white people to fight against white nationalism. It is your responsibility to fight against that. Just like we fight on a day-to-day basis against black-on-black crime.
Just being in the skin, man.
Against colorism, internal racism within the black community. Just like we fight each and every day against that to say that is wrong. We need to get rid of that. We're tired of you killing folks that look like you. It is a sickness. You are a sick individual. White folks need to stand up against white nationalism and call it what it is and say it's wrong. And we need to eradicate DT, all of the systems that support it. Maybe we need to get somebody on here, a professor that studies it, and we need to talk about how to eradicate that from a white perspective. Because I got a black perspective, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was born black. I can't speak from this side. I can. Yeah, listen. I ain't on that side. I'm on this side. You know. I mean, I my experience is a black man in a white world. And I don't claim to be an expert on the feelings of a white people. But what I do know, injustice is injustice.
Do you feel not at home as a fellow citizen?
I feel at home, man. I don't know what's wrong with him. He said, you know, and I'm glad you brought that. You know, they don't feel at home and they want compensation for the violence.
Or the blood. Oh, yeah, for the blood.
When we talk about reparations, they go crazy. We can actually point out the violence. History has documented the violence against black people, the breaking up of families, the Middle Passage and how many people died, the stripping of our culture and our land. History clearly points that out. And we said we want reparations, and they say, the federal government says no.
Put your hand down.
But listen. This white man says, "You know, I need to be compensated.
Bless him. Bless him.
What you need to be compensated
Touch
for?
That brother, give him $5,000.
Give
right
me now. $5 right now. Lord, that $5,000. You know, I mean, these people. I'm going to say this. They're sociopathic.
True.
They're living in a completely different dimension." Than where we are at. And I will say to this, you know, I would only hope that some white supremacist would listen to our show. I hope that. Listen to our show. Because I'm going to tell you like this. You need to pack your bag and run as far away from your environment as possible. Because your environment is full of hate.
Poisonous.
Fear. As you say, poison, cancerous. We are in the 21st century, and I will say to you is that Trumpism will not win. White nationalism will not win. This is a melting pot. Mm-hmm. The reality is that white folks, you know, I love you, you know, I mean, but you're becoming the minority. It's inevitable. There's nothing you can do about it. You can stop immigration. You're not going to have babies. White women out here, they're seeking careers. They're not thinking about having kids. So it's not going to happen. They're not white women. The majority of them are not with white nationalistic thought, man. Mm. They out here trying to get equality, equal pay. They trying to move up, man. They're talented. They're gifted, man. They want to express themselves. They're not trying to lay down and have your babies white male. Dude, that's archaic. To say the least, black women ain't trying to do that either. So it's archaic to say the least. What I'm saying is it's already, the shift has already happened. Mm-hmm. It's over with. It's done with. You are a dying breed. American nationalism, part three. You are a dying breed because history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down. D deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain of the divided peoples? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blackened Studios. To learn more about Blackened Studios, please visit them at blackenedstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blackened Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blackened Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.